Matthew 9:27, you know the story. Jesus is being beckoned by two blind men. And it says here in verse 27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this?" I think he's still saying the same thing today. "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And some of us are like, "I'm not sure." I think you ought to be just like them. What does it say? They said, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But when they were departed, they did what? They spread abroad his fame in all the country. And I was sharing from past lessons that this word followed, when they followed, it meant in the Greek, it means in a determined, purposeful manner. They weren't just lallygagging. They were after something. Just like some of you. You going shopping, I'm purposing to get something or whatever it is. Whether you're going for a steak dinner or something, you're not lallygagging. You're going to go get what you're after, right? That's what they were. They heard something about Jesus, and they had just actually, in this story, he had just left Jairus' house where he raised this girl from the dead. So they saw something. And as far as they were concerned, if he could raise somebody from the dead, he can heal my eyes. So they were following and crying, which meant that word crying there in the Greek, it means to scream and make noise at the top of your lungs. So they were making some noise, and Jesus didn't even stop. He didn't even stop and pay attention to them. He kept going to where he was going. I thought it was, I mean, that's interesting. He didn't even stop, and they're making some noise. He didn't even turn around, it says in the scripture. So he went into the house, and what was the first thing he did? He wanted to locate them. "Believe ye that I am able to do this." He must have recognized something or perceived something that they were after something. And he wanted to locate them and see, "Believe ye?" They were purposed to get something, right? And they said, "Yea, Lord." And he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And so, in Mark 9, in verse 22 and 23, it says, "And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Most of the other translations read a little differently. The New Living Translation, these are all modern translations, say the Spirit often throws him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Verse 23, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." So he flipped it. They're saying, "Well, please help us if you can." He said, "What do you mean, if I can?" He said, "Anything's possible if you believe." So you can see here, faith is a determining factor. Faith is key. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So, and some of our lessons that we were sharing last week, and let's turn over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Just trying to get to today's point here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. If you'll take these principles that we're teaching, they may seem, maybe you're not understanding them at this point. Feed on them. Read these scriptures. Ask God to open your heart to them. But if you'll take these principles and apply them, you will walk in a way that you haven't ever walked before. Doors will open up to you that hadn't opened to you. things that seemed impossible are now possible. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something, it's the evidence of something not seen. And as we shared last week, faith is the substance of something hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. Hope has to come first. Hope has to be there. Faith gives substance to hope. So you have to have a desire. You have to hope for something. Faith can't give a substance to something you're not hoping for. If you're not hoping for something, you can't have faith for it. How could you have faith for something you don't even hope for? You can't. So that's why when it says faith gives substance to something hoped for, hope has to be there. Or a desire. You have to desire to be healed. And then when you know what the will of God is, then faith comes and gives substance. What do I mean by that? It gives confidence, assurance that I have it. When? Now. Hope is something I hope to be healed. I hope I'm going to be healed. Faith, when it knows the will of God and is convinced, faith has it right now. Faith takes it right now. Faith has it right now. I hope to get money for this obligation, to meet this obligation. I got a $1,000 bill to pay. I hope to get that $1,000 to meet this obligation on time. That's hope. That's a desire. But faith, when faith comes, it says, I have it. And faith has it when? Now, something what? Not seen. You can't hope for something seen. Why would you hope for something you already have? You don't. You hope for something not seen. And faith is the evidence of something not seen. Faith has it right now. How is that possible? I remember one time I had some symptoms in my body. It was just, it was an extremely high temperature. I was congested. I didn't feel good, and I stayed home. And I took some teaching tapes on healing, and I started playing them. And I'm going to date myself. They were on cassette. They weren't on CD. They weren't on a jump drive. They weren't even made then. So you may not even know what a cassette is. So, some folks go, what's a cassette? I don't know. If you don't know what it is, I'm not going to try to explain it to you. So I started playing this cassette, and I started playing it. When it ran out, I'd flip it over. I did that for 24 hours, and I just kept playing it. I kept playing it. I kept playing it. I kept playing it. I kept playing it. When I got tired, I fell asleep. I kept playing it. I kept playing it. I'm going to say it. I kept playing 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 it. Faith came. And I mean, when I say it came, it was like an explosion hit my spirit. I'm laying in bed, and the best way I could explain it is, it was like something like a volcano erupted in my spirit. What happened? I kept hearing the word. 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 I kept hearing it. Hour after hour, minute after minute, hour after hour, minute after minute, hour after hour, minute after minute. And that word, what is Hebrews 4:12? It says his word is like a mighty, it says it's spirit. Turn over to Hebrews 4 for a second. I'm still going to tell my story here. But Hebrews 4. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. It says, for the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and thoughts and discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. But it's quick, it's powerful, it's full of life. And I just kept hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it hour after hour. And I'm laying in my bed, and it's like an explosion happened here. I jumped out of bed. This is no joke. I jumped out of bed, and I began to speak in tongues. I pointed my finger, and it was like a sword came out. It was like, ba 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 ba, just like that. And I'm feeling 10 miles of bad road. I mean, I'm feeling pretty nasty. I had like 104, 105 temperature I was considering. And at that point, I said, well, maybe I ought to call a doctor. I did. This is before this happened. I said, maybe I ought to call a doctor because I'm not feeling too good here. And I was thinking about going and checking myself in. And I'm not feeling good. And so I called, and they said, well, we can't see you today, but we can see you tomorrow. I said, okay, fine. But I put this tape on. And when that came out of my mouth, I said, I've got this. Amen. I got it. Amen. And I knew I had it. It was this knowing in here. It came out of my spirit. Now, it just happened to come out in tongues, but it could have come out in English. I had it. That's faith. I was so confident that I had it. That's faith. You've got this. Whether you've got the money, whether you've got the health, you've got it. And I was so convinced, I dragged myself out of bed, got in the shower, got dressed, and got into work. And I couldn't sit for maybe, because I had been laying on my back, I couldn't sit for more than 15, 20 minutes. I was physically drained. But I said, I've got this. I've got it. And I canceled the doctor appointment. I went in, and of course, the symptoms left. But I had to start moving towards that which I didn't see yet. Because I got it. I've got it. And faith gave substance to that which I was hoping for. And that can come in all those areas. It can come in your family. It can come in your marriage. It can come in your health. It can come in your money. It's something you desire. If you've got a good marriage, you can have a better marriage. If you desire that, you can reach for that. How does one do that? You got to start feeding the word of God in your spirit. You've got to believe something, and you've got to begin to say what you don't have. You've got to say what you don't have yet. It's a desire. I desire more money. Okay. You begin to say, my bank accounts are full. I thank you, Lord. You promised me that I could have health and prosperity and wealth. You said you would bless me and bless my basket and my storehouse. You said you would meet all of my need according to your riches and glory. We're supposed to release the word of God. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're not supposed to sit and figure out how my bank accounts are going to get full, how my storehouses are going to be blessed. We're supposed to release those words, release the word of God, and begin to wait on God. He's the one that is going to do what? Direct your steps. He's the one that's going to say, go over here. He may tell you to get more educated. He may tell you to go take some training in something. He may say something because what? That's what's going to be needed. Stop trying to figure out. Some folks are saying, I need to get an education. And I'm not against it, but then you've got educated, say the word, fools. And in debt. And trusting to their understanding and not leaning to God. And I'm not against education. I am not. I'm all for it. But don't put that above being led by God. Don't put that above trusting in Him. Let Him lead and direct you. This is faith. This is where we live. Every day we have to make choices. Every day we're confronted with choices we have to make in life. Little and big. And we need to start operating in these ways and start saying, okay, God, I don't know what to do. I mean, I do it as simple. We went to a homegoing service yesterday in the Bronx. Thank you, Jesus. Going into the Bronx is an interesting thing. That's all I'm going to say about that. I love the Bronx. I love going into the city. But going in and trying to find a parking space. Thank you, Jesus. You better be working your faith and saying, Lord, where should I go? How am I supposed to do this? Because you could end up parking somewhere and have your car towed away because you don't know what you're doing. I pulled up in front of the funeral home, and some guy was double parked in a narrow street, yelling at some lady, screaming, and the next thing I know, there's 8 police cars, and I'm in the middle, and I'm like, can I just get out of here and park? Can we just park? I want to get to where I'm going. So you just... You know, all I'm saying is that you need to operate in faith. Amen. For everything you're doing.
Everything.
Yes. You know, we waste time. I'm not against going to the store and shop, but I'll tell you, I've been in my office, and the Lord said, go over here to this store. And I go, I don't want to go. And so I've gone and get an $800 jacket for $100. He knows where the best deals are, the best clothes, and we waste time trying to figure out, I'm going to go store shopping. Well, you can if you like, but I kind of like the idea of God saying, go over here now. And you go and you get what you need, you get the best deals, you get the best clothes.
Yes, quickly.
Quickly. I was sitting in my office one day and he said, go to Macy's. And I went, I really don't want to go. I did. I'm fighting. I don't want to go. So finally I went over there and I'm just kind of, you know, as they say, rummaging around. And I picked this suit up and I went, there's a zero missing on that. It was a $400-and-some-dollar suit. They had $40 on it.
Amen.
And I said... And I first looked, I said, there's got to be something torn, ripped, marked, magic marker somewhere. And there was nothing. And I finally went to the sales lady because I said, is this a mistake? She said, nope.
It was for you.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can, as if God will lead you, that means grocery shopping, I don't care what it is, car buying. I got a nice sports car that I like to drive. Double turbocharged, lots of ponies in it. And God led me right to it. At an unbelievable price that had been sitting on the lot. So that's all I'm saying is that if you just speak the blessings of God over your life, let Him prompt you, let Him lead you where to go. That's what we're talking about. Whether it's a job, whether it's buying something major, whether it's a life decision, Just speak the promises of God and let him direct you. He'll direct you in your heart.
Amen.
So Hebrews 11, and let me read this from this one translation. I like this particular translation. It's, let me see here. Where is that translation? Hold on a second. Yeah, it's the Moffat's translation. It says, "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we don't see or do not see." So it gives confidence and we're convinced. So what I want to jump into today, I want us to look at, let's take a look at John. Let's go over to the book of John and go to verse 20, chapter 20 and verse 24. This is a story of Thomas, John chapter 20. And of course, this is after Jesus had been raised from the dead, and they're assembled, and Jesus comes into their midst. And starting in verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them," this is Thomas, "except I shall see in his hands," this sounds like real faith here, "except I shall see this, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side." And what does he say? "And be not faithless, but believing." Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Let me read two different translations. You may not have this or have access to them. One is called the Norley, N-O-R-L-I-E, Norley translation. It says, "Do not be a doubter, but a believer." Do not be a doubter, but a believer. This is the Wiest translation. This one really just is tremendous. "Call a halt to your progressive state of unbelief." Ooh. "Call a halt to your progressive state of unbelief, but become one who is believing." You know, I think it's important just to stop a moment when it says, "Call a halt to your progressive state of unbelief." That's how we get into unbelief, progressively. And that's how we get into believing, progressively. And one of the things that Brother Hagin talked about for years, teaching on the subject of faith, he said, "You can train yourself into faith by reading and believing, just saying the scriptures, saying them." And he said, "You keep saying them and the believing will come." That's the same principle that happens with unbelief. You keep talking unbelief, and progressively unbelief will come. And so these things, you know, if we would just take God's word at face value and just begin to say it, and most people say, well, I don't believe that. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it, and the believing will come. Faith will come. You just keep saying it. I believe God's directing me. When it appears he's not. You just keep saying it. Because I guarantee you, I've done it. How many in here have said something negative and have ended up walking in that negative? We all have. Every one of us have said something. We didn't start there, but we kept saying it, and we ended up walking in it. I remember one. No, I'm not gonna. That's not edifying. I'm just thinking about something that I did for years, and I ended up, as they say, walking in it, and it was my fault for saying something, thinking it was the right thing to say, and you ended up saying it over and over and over, and you got it. Be it unto you according to your faith. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Talking about faith here. And let's look at verse 17. Romans 4, 17 through 21. And this is a story about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, and starting in verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." So I want us to look at, just for a moment, let's look at verses, these particular verses. If you'll notice in verse 17, we're talking about faith. This says here, "Even God, who quickeneth the dead, and does what? Calls those things which be not as though they were." If you look at the beginning of the verse, it said, "I have made thee before he was." So these are the kind of principles we're talking about faith. Faith calls those things that be not as though they were. I have my bank account full. I have the money to meet this obligation. I am walking in love. Oh, that's a hard one. When people are not walking in love towards you or acting, I walk in love. And God will work in you if you keep that confession going. Now, verse 18, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken." So you can see here, what did he have faith from or do? According to that which was spoken. So faith comes, or faith is evident based on what? Knowing the will of God. So according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. In other words, he had faith because of something that was spoken. What does verse 20 say? He staggered not at what? The promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, as we go through these, it's interesting. If you look at verse 8 to 20 here, one of the things that I shared in times past was that there are two elements to faith. Faith, two ingredients, you could say. One has to believe, and one has to speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. So if you notice here, what does it say in verse 20? He was strong in faith, or strong in believing, and what? He's doing what? Giving glory. He's speaking. He's saying something. So you can see these two elements here. There is what? Believing and speaking. These are key. These are fundamentals here. So Abraham's faith was built on something God promised. This is what we're seeing here. So before you believe for anything, you've got to first look and see, is there scripture that promises what I believe? If I'm believing something, this is what gets people in the ditch. Is it something promised in your covenant? I mean, look, let's take it. What if you have an insurance policy and you say, well, I'm putting a claim in. You know where I'm going there, right? I'm putting a claim in here. I want my money. And they go, but it's not in your policy. Click. Right? But it's not in your policy. It's not promised. It's not covered in your policy. You have no basis to even call in and ask for money because it's not promised.
That's right.
But here we have in the scripture, if I'm going to have faith for something, if I'm going to reach out and be convinced of something, I better find it in the Word of God. Because otherwise you can't have faith for it. Remember, you can work up a good game and say, yeah, I really believe that. But it's going nowhere. Because faith comes from and is supported by and comes out of a promise that's been made by God. So you have to have faith is based on the Word of God. Not something that you're just dreaming up or cooking up. Something you want. Because there's scripture that says you ask and have not because you do what? James says because you consume it upon your own lust, something you want. So it has to be faith begins where the will of God is what? Is known. So you can see here Abraham was fully persuaded because of something God promised. That's where faith comes for us. If something that God has promised in his word, you can become fully persuaded, absolutely convinced that it's coming, that I have it. I have it. And that comes by constantly feeding in the word of God. So faith does not mean that you're not going to have challenges or afflictions. What is Psalm 34? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He delivers us.
Yes.
Psalm 91, he shall call upon me, I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him.
Yes.
So he will deliver us.
Yes.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, what is faith? Faith is acting on what God's word said. That's what faith is. Faith is acting. You know, I think about this. How many in here are married? Or you admit to being married? Let's say it that way. How did you get married? You first said, I believe that person, I like that person, I believe that person is for me, and you went on dates or whatever, and you got to the place where you made a commitment and you got married.
That's right.
But you didn't just say, I believe, and there was no action. If you actually believed and there was faith that this was the person for me, you did what? You did something. You acted. And so that's the same thing where we're talking about faith. Faith in something that God has promised requires an action. Otherwise, it's, as I say, it's just talk. It's just believing. And faith without a corresponding action is dead. It's just, what does the scripture say? The devils believe. I won't be called a devil. There's got to be an action. If you're believing God, then that means, and I'm not telling someone to make something happen. What I'm saying is you act as if.
Yes, that's right.
Why? Because you have it. You act as if I have the answer. That's what it is. So now let's take a look. Let's take a look at how we have just two particular quick areas here. Faith for two areas. Faith for salvation and faith for healing. And then we could look at faith for money. But faith for salvation, let's take a look at Romans chapter 10. Is a familiar scripture verse. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse 8 through 10 or 11. In Romans chapter 10, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Where is it? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt do what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? The heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that word salvation means, it can mean deliverance, it can mean health, it can mean a number of things, preservation, safety, and so forth. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we can see here that it's with the heart man does what? Believes. That's where faith comes. And once faith is there, it says confession is made unto salvation. So you've got to believe in your heart that I have this. But then there has to be a confession made unto salvation. There has to be a confession made. There has to be something. You will say what you believe. Turn over to Acts 11 real quick. Acts chapter 11. And look at verses 11, 12, and 13. Acts chapter 11. And this is all about Cornelius, his household. But chapter 11, in verse 11, it says, "And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Look at verse 14. "Who shall tell thee words whereby?" So this is how faith comes for salvation. This said here, Peter's going to tell them words whereby those words, thou and all thy house shall be saved. So the believing is going to come by hearing these words. You can see here. Now we're in Acts 11. Go over to Acts 14. Acts 14. And look at verse 7. It says, "And there they preached the gospel." And this is the man with the crippled feet. At Lystra, it says here, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet," he was crippled, "being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard," what? "The same heard Paul," do what? "Speak, who steadfastly," what? "Beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed." How do you have faith to be healed? He heard something that was preached. "Said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked." Let's go over to Mark chapter 5. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said," and some translations say, "she kept saying."
Amen.
That's what most of the translations, the modern translations say. "She kept saying, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So now think about it. He's walking in the midst of this throng of people that you can't even move. I've been over in Israel. We walked through some parts where you couldn't move. There were people in front and the side and the back. You couldn't move. And so you can just imagine she's pressing her way in that type of a setting. She touches him, power flows out of him. If it was just his power that healed people, anybody that touched him would have been healed. But it is not the case. Something caused the power of God to flow out of Jesus. What did he say? "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And that's no different today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can reach out and take things by faith And he said, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So as we take something that we've read or heard, we take that and begin to keep saying. That's what she did. She kept saying, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I've sown my seed. What does the scripture say? He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Yeah. I'm going to reap bountifully. Yeah. And I'm not going to be moved by what things in life determine. That doesn't determine my outcome. The word does. God's word determines the outcome and my faith in it. Amen goes right there. Now let's look at one last scripture here, Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 20 and 21, 22. Proverbs chapter 4.
Yes.
It says, my son, you could say my daughter, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from where? Thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Some translations say medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Listen to this. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart. What do we got done reading? With the heart, man believeth. That's why he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because it can affect your believing. Listen to this. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. Yeah. The New Living Translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. If you think you can, and your trust is in God, you can. You can do it. This is the New Century Version. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts run your life. It's the New Century Version. So be careful what you think. You think on it long enough, it'll become something you believe. You will progressively put yourself over into unbelief or sickness or lack or whatever it is. You know, you begin to, why is it when you look at some communities that are oppressed, why in some communities you have some that'll say, I'm not going to be hindered by this or stuck by this, and they pull themselves out of that. It's not, they say, I'm not going to be confined to this. Even though society and the things going on in the natural say, you're stuck. You can't get out of that predicament. And then some people will say, I'm getting out of this. Because their thinking is that I'm not going to be hindered by this. And they don't want to let it affect their what? Their heart. They don't let it affect their heart. And so these are the kind of things for us in when you're facing something in life that looks like you'll never, because of conditions. And they're real. You see them. It says you'll never have this. You'll never be able to achieve this. You'll never be able to own this. You'll never, you know, the doctor will say, it's hereditary. You'll have to live with it. Well, you can embrace that. Or you can say, Yeah, but God's word says such and such. I remember there was a family that was coming here for years, and they relocated to Oklahoma, and they started going to the Kenneth Hagin ministry. And the one of the youngest girls, she was very short. She's still short. She's tiny, but she's in her 20s, and she's a firecracker. She used to have to wear a pump for insulin. She has to wear it on her body because she had diabetes, and her organs required that. I'm not a medical person, but she had to wear this pump. And she said she started to go to every day she went to prayer and healing school. She heard scriptures on healing every single day. And I remember a couple years ago, her dad's out there and the kids have gone through the training school and they're all out and they have their own jobs. And I think Jessica is now going to ORU, furthering her education. But her dad said, yeah, her kidneys and her pancreas just started to work. I said, yes, the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. If you get that word down in you enough, it'll make your organs function properly. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens. He's the God that quickeneth. And he can quicken organs, but it's going to require you feeding and feeding. That's what we're reading right here. Let not these things attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What does that mean? I believe God. My organs are functioning properly. When they're not. And she's not wearing a pump today. Her organs are functioning. That didn't happen overnight, but she kept going. She kept hearing. She kept hearing. She kept hearing and saying. Yes. And then, as her dad said, he said, the doctor's not, they just started to work. Glory. I said, right. That's right. It's the life of God. See? And this is what we need to, whatever you're facing in life, it may already be determined, but God, amen, who quickeneth those things that are dead, he can make it work. He'll make it work. Amen. So let's just cap this off with one last scripture here. Let's go over to Philemon. Go to Hebrews and back up one. It's right there. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and you'll be right there. Philemon and verse 6. There's only one chapter. Verse 6. I'm going to read this. I don't have the other translations with me. But verse 6, it says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual or operative by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. If you look up that word acknowledging, it means to confess. It means to speak.
That's
right. So it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? Confessing.
That's right.
By saying. So faith is believing, but it's also you're going to have to acknowledge. You're going to have to say what you believe.
That's right.
Every good thing that's in you, in Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you.
Yes. I tell you, create a list. Sometimes we have these to-do lists in life. Start putting down your victory list. Put down the list of things that I'm going to have victory in.
Yes.
And begin to speak over them. Put them up somewhere where you can keep them before you. Put the scriptures that promise you the victory in that area. And keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep feeding on the word that promises you that. Amen. I'm telling you, if you'll get these principles and you start working them and work them in your life, you're going to come out of whatever it is that's hindering you in life or determining things in life. Don't try to figure out how to do it. Just put your trust in God. Speak the word. He'll direct your path. He'll lead you into all truth. He watches over his word to do what? To perform it. He makes it come to pass.